Get refueled at the 2019 Direction for Life Conference, Full of Faith, at Right Direction Church International, November 6th through the 8th. It'll be 3 days of life-changing services with powerful messages from Bishop Herbert Bailey, Dr. Marcia Bailey, Bishop Joseph Walker, Dr. Darius Daniels, and Pastor Keon Henderson. We'll also have musical guests Joy Hill, Todd Galberth, and Gay Arbuckle. On Friday at noon, join us for an empowerment luncheon with motivational speaker and executive advisor Simon T. Bailey, focusing on leadership and making an impact in the workplace. Reignite your faith at the 2019 Direction for Life Conference, Full of Faith, November 6th through the 8th, 12 noon and 7 p.m. nightly at Right Direction Church International, 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia.
Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Pushing Past Offense by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Verse 165, Psalm 119, verse 165. One verse of scripture says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That verse from the New Living Translation says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Do not stumble. Then there's a translation that I came across called God's Word Translation. And it says, there's lasting peace for those who love your teachings. Nothing can make those people stumble. And so we started a series last week entitled Pushing Past Offense. Have any of y'all had to push past offense this week? This week, last Sunday night, Pastor Marsh and I, I was driving to Atlanta for a conference we were going to be at the very beginning of the week. And so I stopped somewhere beyond Augusta, between Augusta and Atlanta. And I stopped. I was hungry. So I stopped and I went to Bojangles or some kind of way. You know, Pastor Marcia always tell me, just leave people alone. Don't start talking to people, you know. You know, she said, if you just leave people alone, you don't have to just, you know. But we walked in and they were saying something. I just jumped in. I said, who y'all talking to or something? I just jumped in there. And some kind of way they got to talking. And I can't remember how it led to this. But they got to talking about age. And I said, well, how old she look? And the girl behind the counter said, about 25. I said, well, she looked 25. How old I look? She said, 60-something. I said, hold up. She looked 25 and I looked 60-something? Then I had to remember what I taught y'all last week. What was it, Proverbs 19:11? Put it up, Proverbs 19:11. I think that was scripture I taught y'all last week, right? I told you, see, when you get the word, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Of another translation said, pass over. And so I looked at this girl. I said, Proverbs 19:11. That quick, right after I preached the word, I got challenged with the word. So I know you got some challenges this week. You have to make a decision. You're going to pass over an offense. You know, and, you know, throughout the week, I was just thinking about stuff. I told Pastor Marsh, I said, you know, if you did this, they would know how old you are. If you did this and did this, you wouldn't look 25. I said, if you don't go to beauty parlors much, you won't be looking like you're 25. She said, just stop hating. So we discovered so far that offenses are inevitable because no one's perfect. James 3:22 talks about those of us who are leaders and teachers. He said, if any man offend not in word, James 3:2, the same as a perfect man. That means you're fully developed, you're fully mature, you don't have anything else to learn. If you always speak the right thing, that means we're going to slip up. Somebody's going to say something that's going to offend. But we start establishing that just because you feel offense doesn't mean you have to take offense. And just because you feel offense doesn't mean you have to be offended. Just because someone says or does something offensive, you don't have to be offended. We're with our grandchildren. We had them, seemed like we had them 3 days straight, something like that, some kind of way that worked out. But one of these days this week, they were with us, and I can't remember what happened. And I just got a feeling. You know how you make a move in a car, you got a feeling that the other person offended. Ain't no sense looking at them. You know they offended. So something happened, and we were driving, and the person tried to catch me. Okay, I remember. We were going to the graduation, and I didn't know where I was going, and I was in a lane that you're supposed to turn right only, you know, but I had to hurry up because I wasn't turning right. So I had to hurry up and get back in the lane. And it was a truck. He wasn't going to be able to go that fast anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, so I got in front of the truck. And so then the truck caught up to us. And my granddaughter said, "Papa, what that man doing putting his hand out there?" I never looked at the man. She said, "What that man doing with his hand?" Obviously, the man got offended. I never looked at the man. See, just because somebody offends you, you don't have to stick up your finger. Even if they deserve for you to let them know that they number one. That's what that finger means, right? You number one. You number one. Yeah. You have to let them know that they number one. Amen. So you have the discretion and choice to defer your anger, overlook a wrong, push past offense. Because offense starts with feelings that results in action that usually have nothing to do with the will of God. We looked at James 1:19-20. Where it says, name 1 and 20 says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When you get angry, you're probably going to respond and do something that has nothing to do with what's right before God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If you get angry, you're going to do something that's not right. You're going to say something that's not right. You're going to react in a way that, now your flesh says they deserve it. But our righteousness is not based upon what we feel is right. Let me explain something, y'all. For a person to get offended, leave the church, and then try to call other people and tell them to leave the church because they got offended, leave the church, and reach out to them on Facebook, tell them to come on. That ain't right. I'm not offended. And y'all got to know that stuff ain't right. And you got to be smart enough not to be moved by that kind of stuff. What you need to tell people, you know, "Oh man, you really offended, aren't you? Wow, because I know you didn't get that over right direction." Amen. You must really be offended. Like I told you, just because you get offended with somebody doesn't mean everybody else got to be offended with them. It is okay for you to not like somebody and somebody else still love that person. The Bible calls that people who sow discord among the brethren. Those are people who try to break up relationships just because you got offended. And sow discord, try to cause division. Just because your marriage didn't work, don't mean nobody's marriage got to work. Amen. Just because you mad at Buster don't mean there aren't any good men. I tell you, ain't no husbands any good. No, your husband was no good. Be offended with yours. So the resulting action of offense is usually walking away, leaving, terminating relations, which can cause us to get off the path of purpose and destiny. And we looked at Barnabas and Saul. I've established throughout the book of Acts at least three scriptures that God ordained for Paul and Barnabas to be together. There was a mission, there was a purpose, there was an assignment that was being fully walked out. It was fully being manifested. It was having all the great results it should. Because they were called to do it together. But offense, and I got to meditating about that this week. That's Acts 15 and verse 39. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Paul said, "Listen, John Mark went with us before. He lazy. He took off. He was AWOL. We didn't know where he was. And when it was time to do the work, he was nowhere to be found. I'm not going through that again. We don't need to take Barnabas John Mark with us." And the Bible says in Acts 15:39 that the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And you read the rest of the book of Acts, which is about another 15 chapters or so, and we never hear about Barnabas anymore. All because he let, watch this, let somebody else put him asunder from the person God connected him with. That word asunder, it's the same word that we see whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder, come between. I got to thinking about this thing. I said, what happened with Barnabas that he didn't recognize what the primary relationship was? The primary relationship was Paul. The prime wasn't John Mark. So, I got to think about that. He let somebody that should have been a lesser relationship divide him from the primary relationship, because God put Saul and Barnabas together, Paul and Barnabas together. John Mark was an incidental helper. See, you got, and that's just like the devil, because what the devil does, he'll take your eyes off the most important thing and get you caught up in minutia. And you got to recognize when the devil's using somebody that should be insignificant to become so significant that they cause you to part and get offended with the one who was a primary covenant relationship that God connected you with. Years ago, something was going down with Pastor Dollar. And I had my own stuff I was working through by myself. And so this other brother called me. He left me a message. He said, "Ben, I want to talk to you about such and such. I want to talk to you about such and such and such. Call me back, man." And he gave me some headlines. But I said, "I ain't calling you back. I'm trying to work through my own stuff. I don't need you fueling stuff I'm trying to work through." I never called him back. All that worked out. And when we was with Pastor Dollar this week, he was sitting there with me. See, you're not catching this. You're not catching this. See, I could have let him feed me a bunch of mess, got more offended, separate from the person I know who's responsible for me being where I am today. Marched off, he get over his, and I'm off of purpose. Y'all gotta watch that with people. That stuff is so subtle. So to push past the fence, I said you got to think more than you feel. Say that, say, "I gotta think more than I feel." Well, I'm feeling some kind of way, get over it. I'm feeling some kind of way, get out your feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sight means your feelings, your sense realm. What you see, what you smell, what you taste, what you hear, what you touch. That's the sense realm. As men are led by the Spirit, they're the Son of God. Not men are led by their offense. So you got to think to push past the fence more than you feel. You can't allow yourself to make decisions based upon your emotions and offense if you're going to fulfill purpose and walk in destiny. Because y'all know feelings change. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Feelings change. Amen. And then when you over your feelings, see, you've made a permanent decision in a temporary situation. Never make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. You're going to get over this. So you got to focus on the end versus the offense. Focus on the end goal versus the current offense. And I ended last week telling you about the situation that we were in the church that God had put us in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and had a racist pastor making racist statements, and I got all offended, and I said, "I ain't coming back." And the Lord told me, what you heard, I knew was in him when I told you to join this church. That was my first time understanding this principle that you don't make decisions based upon your feelings, because that seemed like a legitimate feeling to make a decision based upon. But God said to me, "What you found out about this person, I already knew what was in this person. And you're not going to leave based upon a fence and go wander around, go being in somebody's church for 3 years talking about I'm looking for a church home. You read why you're looking for a church home? Because you left a home. If God leads you, he leads you out to lead you into. God don't want you drifting. The drifters played out. They was in the 50s. You might see them you might go to Vegas and see them. They ain't the same drifters no more. Those drifters then drifted away. Some of the young people have no clue what I'm talking about. What in the world is he talking about? So the Bible refers to offense as stumbling, falling off your purpose, falling out of your destiny, falling away from the goal, falling away from your assignment, stumbling. And the devil will try to take advantage of every opportunity for offense to derail you from your purpose and your destiny. Let's pick up this week at John 6th chapter. That was a good review. Look at your name and say, that was a good review. John the 6th chapter. Now, the interesting thing about John 6 is that in the beginning of the chapter, we see the full effect of Jesus' ministry. He fed the 5,000. And the Bible says that did not include women and children. So conservatively, it's 15, 20,000 people there. Okay? Because if there's men there, there's wives, and most likely there's some children, and they didn't have birth control and urologists back in the day. So it was inevitable when men and women got together, you're going to have children. So conservatively, with 15, 20,000 people who was following Jesus that day, he fed 5,000. Now, that shows the full extent of his popularity, of his influence, of his reach. And so Jesus, after he feeds them, the following day, people are still following him. They're on the other side of the sea. He said, let's go to the other side. And there's still people who still follow him. The crowd may be a little bit smaller, but there's still probably thousands of people there. And Jesus started telling them in verse 35, I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never hunger. If you believe in me, you'll never thirst. I'm the bread. I'm the living water. He says in verse 41, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Know what Jesus said? That manna represented me. Glory to God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That word, I am the living word. Out there in the wilderness, when God sent the manna, that represented me. I'm the bread that coming down from heaven. And then Jesus starts saying stuff then. Well, you know, in verse 44, not that any man seen the Father, say he which is of God. He has seen the Father. And I tell you, if you believe in me, then you have everlasting life. Your fathers ate the manna which came out of the wilderness. They're dead. But this bread that coming down from heaven, talk about himself, the man may eat and shall not die. I'm the living bread. I mean, Jesus is going deeper. You know, I mean, he's just feeding them. And now he says, now, come on. Let me tell you what this is really about. Listen, if you want to serve God, you got to come through me. You got to believe in me. You can't follow me from afar. We got to have a closer relationship. This whole thing, watch it, is about me. Oh, Jesus. Jesus said, it's not even so much that I'm here just to represent the Father. The Father's directing you to me. He spoke from and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm the living bread. Yeah. Then verse 53, gets real deep. Real deep. I'm, you know, I can picture. I can picture the audience. This is one of these audiences, you know, as the organ is going. Jesus preaching, yeah! Everybody, yeah! Yeah! Everybody jumping and shouting. He goes deep. I'm the living bread. Yeah! You got to eat. I'm the bread. And then he went, yeah. First you heard thunderous applause. Then you hear. People ain't so sure. The message is becoming more challenging. Oh, can I tell y'all something? When you grow up, the messages are going to become more challenging. As you go further in God, God challenges you more. You know, when you start out, God says stuff like, you know, you need to start tithing 10%. You go on with God, God says, sow a $5,000 seed. Oh, the devil. Yeah. God will challenge you more. First, you know, you first get saved, the Lord tells you, stop smoking. You go on with God, God tells you, love everybody. Oh, come on now. This is a hard saying. It's easier to stop smoking than to love everybody. Stop being so easily offended. Stop being so nasty just because you say that's the way you are. I'm trying to change you from the inside out. I don't care if your mama was like that. Your mama needed to change, but she won't listen to me, so I'm talking to you. It'll become more challenging. As you go on with God, he challenges you more to go to another level. You're at one level of glory. He pushes you into another level of glory. So Jesus starts saying to them, verse 53, except ye eat my flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Who say, if he eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. From my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. He that eateth me, and he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth this bread, my flesh, shall live forever. Look at verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this Negro crazy. My Aunt Dottie came here a few years ago. Some of y'all, you heard me talk about my Aunt Dottie. My Aunt Dottie came here a few years ago, and remember, the church we came out of, it was a total whole service on Sunday. Total was an hour and a half. Okay? Y'all know back then I might be teaching an hour and a half. Back then. But she used to the whole service. And she don't smoke no more. But I had told Pastor Trey at the time was my PPA. I said, listen, if Aunt Dottie get up, don't you let her smoke on this campus. So I'm in the middle of preaching. And I see on that, I said, Lord Jesus. And Trey didn't move at first. I said, I don't know if y'all remember that day. I had to stop. I said, on that, where are you going? She said, Negro, please. And kept on walking. But she didn't say Negro. Then as they got out, Trey said, Dottie, where you going? She said, listen. She said, y'all crazy for sitting up here listening to this Negro. She didn't say Negro all this time. Y'all got to know my daddy. And she walked out like, I don't know how y'all going to sit here and listen for a whole. This y'all crazy. I said to people, well, y'all going to sit here and listen, man? Say, you got to eat his body and drink his blood? Look what it said. Many disciples, the ones he just fed early in the chapter. The ones who said, oh, this man is a miracle worker. Yeah. We know God is using him, and God sent us, and he feeds the 5,000. They ate till they could eat no more. They ate till they were filled, because there is no shortage in the kingdom of God. And yet, when the message got more challenging, when it got more personal, when it required more of them spiritually, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear? Verse 60. Who can listen to this? Drop down to verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this what? Oh, y'all offended now. Oh, does this offend you?
When someone's offended you, it can sometimes seem hard to get over it. Do not allow offense to govern your behavior. Learn how to push past the resentment in this transforming series. Order today for your love gift of $30 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Pushing Past Offense.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.